Session number 12962.
One real four. You're saying the Libyans were moderate?
Yes, as a people. And before the revolution, they used to, like a glass of whiskey, and the rich Libyans, who made a lot of money in Libya, they used to have very extensive parties with a great deal of entertainment, as it were. And the first thing that Gaddafi stopped is he's a, what one might say, a zealot for his religion. He stopped all drink being sold in the country. And when the revolution was over and people were coming in, visitors, to try and do business, they would go and stay at the Libyan hotel, the Libyan palace in Tripoli, where you couldn't get a drink. And the food was pretty awful. They stopped serving cosmopolitan food. They just served Libyan food. And the Libyans were rather miserable with all that. They rather liked the free and easy regime that they'd had with the king, although he himself, the king, was always very strongly against anyone breaking any of the laws of the Quran himself. But I think all the other people, the other Libyans, they liked the European style of life. And many of them used to spend their holidays in America or England or the continent, where they used to enjoy that style of life.
But was there any division between the richer ones and the poorer ones in that
region? Oh, well, I think so, because some of the Libyans had a great deal of money, the trading Libyans. And, of course, there was a lot of money in Libya, because it was an oil country. And everybody had more money, really, under that regime, the old regime, than they ever did under Gaddafi. And these rich Libyans, of course, they were interested really in the good life and making money. And so, of course, with the Bedou who lived up in Benghazi or around in Cyrenaica, they were comparatively very poor.
Had you had any inkling before the revolution that such a thing might occur?
No, none. No one, I think, had any idea that it would occur. Even, I mean, it includes the embassy, MI6, and that sort of thing. I hadn't ever indicated that there was a likelihood.
Had you ever come across any hostility from Libyans before the revolution?
No, no. The king, of course, was an Anglophile, and he liked the British and the Americans. He trusted them. And so Libya was a very nice country, really, to live in under the king if you were British. You could go where you liked. You could frankly do what you liked. And I don't think they ever showed much interest in us, I suppose. They probably had a sort of intelligence organization, but I don't think they ever deployed it very strongly against us.
What kind of legacy had the Second World War left in Libya?
Well, until the time I arrived in Libya, of course, we had a garrison there. And in Benghazi, they had a headquarters, and in Tripoli, they had a headquarters. And we had troops there. And of course, we had El Adam, the base, and Tobruk, where we had an Air Force establishment. And we had an armored car regiment, and we had quite a few troops. But the Libyans, I don't think, were hostile to that, because the troops, of course, spend their money, I mean, in Libya, which they could recognize was good for them. And I think they always trusted the British, and particularly anyone near the king knew that he did.
But what were their, what were the Libyan memories of the Second World War? What would they tell you about?
Well, I frankly don't know. But all I do know is that in Tripoli in 1970, cholera broke out, and the great bell in Tripoli was tolled in the middle of the night to warn the population that there was cholera around. And that bell had never been tolled since the British Eighth Army entered Tripoli in the war.